Just to continue our discussion of the Halach Ma'anya, which we started out with the issue of the fact that it's in Aramaic, and the rest is in Hebrew. And in addition to that, the last sentence is partially Aramaic and partially Hebrew. Hashata Avdi, the last statement. Now we are slaves. It's basically expressing our confidence. Let's put it this way, that we're confident that next year we will be B'nai Chorin. So we have a number of questions, just sort of to bring us up to date. Yesterday I expressed the reason for the Aramaic. So my opinion is that there is an issue over here, that the very notion of us having a Seder is problematical. Because the whole theme of the chapter called B'chol Dor V'Dor, Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo, Ki Lehu Yatza Mimitzrayim. In every generation, a person must view himself as though he had gone out of Egypt. That is to say, that he has to see that this event occurred to him. It wasn't just for that generation. It was just as much for all the subsequent generations. It affects us personally. That's what I'm talking about, the experiential, that a person has to have the same attitude towards the event as though he was there, as though he experienced it. Because the results, all of the results that accrue from that, all the benefits that accrue from that, are for us. When Hashem did it, he didn't do it just for that particular group, and then whatever happens, what happens. But no, it's a whole to establishing a system in generation after death, behold over there, generation to generation to generation. It's Li. It's me. This is what you have to experience, and you have to pass on to your children. But when I went out of Egypt, it's not only our fathers alone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was goel, ela af osanu goli mohem. We too were redeemed with them. Shenemar v'osanu hotzi misham. L'man havi osanu losas lanu es ha'aretz asher nishba l'avosanu, in order to bring us to this land. So geula is tied up with Yerusha Sa'aretz. We're not saying it in the sense that this is a means to, in the end, is to be in the being in the land is extremely significant, but it's not an end in its own. It's not a nationalistic thing. It's so that's where you can really keep the Torah in the most perfect manner to establish a certain type of a society that was envisioned by the Torah. How do you square the idea that we are redeemed and therefore we're giving praise to Hashem? It wasn't just our forefathers and it's us as well. And this seems to be saying Hashata Avdi. And as I'm saying, I was raising the question. I think it's somewhat, I have stronger question. I'm not saying there's no answer, but you have to deal with it. What are you going to ignore? Sort of the so-called elephant in the room. Hold it a second. Where are we? We're in America. Is that that was what we're saying, that Laman Havi, to bring us to the land. Well, all right, today you could say you can go there if you want to go there, but we still say this. L'shana Haba, we still say L'shana Haba, Bi'arad Yisrael. Even though you can still go there. I want to suggest some thoughts over here, and just thinking out loud, so to speak. And this is subject to further development. It seems to me that there has to be, everything that we do has to be in line with Emes. In Yadas, it has to be in line with Emes. For example, the Gemara says that now, Bizman Hazeh, as opposed to the Yemos HaMashiach, we have two separate brachos. You have to bless God for good things, Atova Meita, for good tidings, and for bad tidings. For example, somebody dies, you still have to bless God. Except it's Diana Emes, the true judge. But La'asad Lava, in the future, reference to Yemos HaMashiach, when we have a much clearer perspective, so there'll only be one bracha. Hatova meita. That is, death is not an evil. Just that we'll have a clear understanding of the situation, the scheme of things, and so on and so forth. Well, death is not an evil, obviously. According to Yad, this is not an evil. Especially assuming to the contrary. If a person lived his life correctly, so when that life is finite, it's physical life. We don't believe that life is over. Then if he's lived his life correctly, so when it's complete, that's when you should really rejoice. People celebrate when a child is born. But at that point in time, you don't really know if it's a good. Well, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. But nevertheless, people celebrate, because then your emotions are really in line. It evokes something within you, a certain fantasy. When a person dies, if you reflect back on his life, if he's a tzaddik, he's lived a righteous life, so that's the time to rejoice. Then you're really rejoicing over life. This is a reflection of what a human life can be. In terms of, but it's over, well, physical life is unlimited. It's not the ultimate form of existence. And since we believe in the essence of Adam is the Tzelem Elokim and the Neshama, so the person lives on. So what's the tragedy? So what are we saying, die now? And indeed, that's the halacha. It's telling you that Yimos HaMashiach, if we saw things on a higher plane, we would not say Dianamis, we would say Atav HaMeta. So the question is, so why don't we say it now? Now that we know that Dianamis is not the best bracha, so to speak. Atav HaMeta is the real bracha. So why don't we say it now?
We can't fool ourselves.
Yeah, the answer is because of the MS factor. That while something is true, objectively, it may not be true for you, subjectively, and you would be deceiving yourself if you said that, because your emotions are not in line with that truth. There may be certain individuals who are in line with that truth, but basically, that's the human condition. So the Torah is making, quote-unquote, a concession, I mean, just using the word, to the human condition because of its insistence on MS. So don't force yourself to say things that you don't really believe. That wouldn't be a praise of Hashem. So dynamis, that a person can say. He affirms the tzedek adin. But that it's tov, that's too much. So I'm just using that idea in a loose way, that here too, we have to take cognizance of that there's a problem. That is, we're not where this shouldn't be. The Jews, this is not the way it ought to be. We were redeemed for a purpose. And the purpose was that we should be B'nai Chorin, and we should have our own land. We shouldn't be in Golos. And Golos is a tragedy. And something that has to be explained. How could you be Hashem's people and be in Golos? Well, you know, throughout the history, that was the taina of the church. It was a false taina, but that, you see, that is something which makes an impact upon people. How can you claim to be Hashem's people and look at what you go through, the persecution, the suffering, you don't even have your own land, but fine, if we, it's not just that we don't even have our own land, but Ashata Abdi, you're not on the highest plane, so to speak, generally speaking, the Jews were a persecuted, despised people. That's a significant idea. I mean, there's the Haftarah, we just read, Lo Lamanchem, that the idea that God will not necessarily redeem us from Golos because of our merits. Hopefully it'll be because of our merits, but for his name. That his name is Bechul Bagayim. That the name of, that it's Chil Hashem, that his people are in this kind of a state. I think that this is Halach Ma'anya is instituted because it's a different phenomenon to have a Seder. To be osek in the mitzvah salat from the standpoint of golos is different than from the standpoint of how it ought to be. That it's golos. It's golos. But that's what we have to acknowledge that. That we're about to engage on this evening in which we're going to be involved and completely rejoicing over the geula, but you can't pretend that you're not in golos. You can't lose sight of that fact. And golos is a tragedy. Of course, those who know Torah will discover the reason is not because there's anything lacking from the original Geula. It's not that there's anything lacking from the original Geula, it's because of the Chet. There's a phenomenon of Chet, which means to say that the Geula itself, it has to be understood in accordance with the entire system of Hashem. It's not a question, it's not a problem if you understand. I mean, it's a problem in the sense that it's not the ideal, but it's not a philosophical problem in terms of conflicting with the fundamentals. The fundamental is Bechira, that everything operates through Bechira, that God gives us the opportunity, but we have that is because God redeemed us, God put us in a certain position, in a certain situation, and that's permanent. That Geulas HaNefesh is a permanent phenomenon. And if we activate it, if we access it, it's always there, and then we live in a different dimension. You're really saying that as a result, the truth of the matter is that the Geulas itself is also testimony, if you understand it, it's also testimony to the fact that the Jews are an eternal people. Because the eternity of the Jews is demonstrated through a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashkacha. That everything that happens to the Jewish people is the result of Hashkacha, which was established by the Bris Bein Absarim when we transformed ourselves into a different kind of a people, into the Am Hashem. And the relationship is demonstrated in both ways. Ironically, of course, it's demonstrated by the good. When the Jewish people live according to the Torah, so then all the Datsim Chukosai Teilechu, Venasati Kishmechem Be'itam, all the blessings we read about in the Kriya Shema, that will be manifest to the world, that there's something unique, there's something different. That the blessings of Hashem will be manifest. That's Shechina. V'shachanti b'sochecham, Hashem says. That He'll dwell amongst us. But it has a negative side as well. It has a negative side. This is something which creates tremendous problems for people. Tremendous problems. They can't see that this is Hashkacha. The idea is that's the Bris and Allah. After the Brachos comes the Tochacha. It's very, very gruesome reading. It's very serious. What does that mean? That means that we're a completely different type of an ummah, in that we can't, our fortunes will never ever be based upon purely the natural order. That's a fundamental. That's not to say that everything is, I don't mean in the sense that everything is just miracles. We have a role to do. We have to act intelligently. That's a fundamental. Ain't so well and nice. But that's the idea you see by Yaakov. It's in the Torah. Avraham Avinu did not rely, he did whatever he had to do. And then he was mispalel. It's a combination that man must do is what's required of him. You see, by Yaakov, that Yaakov made preparations for his brother Esau. That's the mitzvah. You see in the Megillah that v'tzumu alai, very fast. You have to do tshuva. Then she had a plan. She put into a plan with the inviting home, with the party. There's a strategy. So you can't negate. You can't negate the laws of nature. You have to operate and do your best, and you can't just sit back and pray. When dangers are facing you on a community level or on an individual level, you can't just sit back and pray. If you have medical issues, you got to pray mechuyev to be mispal, of course, but you are mechuyev to go to the doctors, and whatever is that's part of your perfection, that's part of your relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem created the natural order and he wants you to work within the natural order. But that will only take you so far. You can't control the outcomes. So then when it's Baal to Hashem, that's where Hashkacha, if we're worthy of it, Hashkacha will pick it. The mistake of Israel today, that the secular, non-religious element of, which I don't blame them, it's not their fault, they weren't taught Torah, I'm not here to blame anybody, but I'm merely saying their idea that we have now taken control over our fate, we're not at the mercy of others, it depends upon what we do, cannot succeed. It cannot succeed. On the other hand, those who maintain that we should just sit and learn the whole day and daven the whole day and not train for warfare and deal with the... That's also contrary to Yadis. You've got to do both. The idea that we can... Now, an ordinary nation, its fate will be determined by and large by what it does. The United States of America, if it has an intelligent policy, a political policy, a foreign policy, a military policy, etc. So by and large, it'll be successful or whatever. I mean, assuming that it's acting intelligently. So if it deals intelligently with the terrorist threat after 9/11 and it establishes the most rational use of its resources and so on and so forth, so by and large, it'll succeed. That's it. You'll be able pretty much to explain afterwards. You could do the history on the basis of the natural forces alone. Such is not the case for the Jews, for Israel, for the Jews. That is, if we abandon Torah, and we say, well, not that most of the time when you abandon Torah, you can act foolishly. It's true, but let's assume that they wouldn't act foolishly. that they would act in the most intelligent manner, such that if another nation acted that way, then they would be successful. But for the Jews, it can't succeed, because there will be a negative hashgacha. That's the olam, the curses. Well, that's, so to speak, the curses, because that's the relationship. If they were, if the Jews could succeed that way, then that would be the end of the risk. Then they just go off and be another people. Once we, that's part of the requirements, the conditions of the bris, is that we enter into a special relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which has it's the greatest thing in the world. That relates just to the closeness and having the Torah and having the way of life of Torah. That's the greatest bracha in its own right, because the entire world is in darkness in terms of what the correct path of life is, the Derech HaChayim, and how we can perfect ourselves and go close. That itself is the greatest bracha, but Hashem is saying, in addition to that, though, your path will be successful, so that you won't have to struggle all the time with difficulties and illnesses and all the other things, because that's, Hashem wants us to be living that kind of life. It also has its negative component. And this too, for the wise individual, is a proof of the eternity of the Jewish people. There are certain chachamim that notice this. The fact that the Jews undergo all of these trials, first of all, more so than any other people, why should it be? And in every time, in every place, the persecutions, endless persecutions. That doesn't happen to anybody else, it's not natural. And why people suffer the Holocaust. But in addition to that, and they survive. And that's Mizrachi, that's the Nebuah, that they'll be like the dust of the earth, all the Mefarshim. Not now, looking back, they'll all step on you to crush you, and the dust will fall upon them. They'll be consumed. All our enemies have been consumed, and the Jews will survive. That's all of this has been fulfilled. But it's an expression of Hashkacha. The fact that we are in Golos is a confirmation of the bris. Very few people will acknowledge it, because people have a false idea of Hashkacha. They're living in a fantasy world, and to them, it's a very primitive religious thing. Oh, I do a good thing, so God rewards me, like a child. It's a childish notion. They don't have a true understanding of Hashkacha. That's why you can't take them into this arena. That's not the idea of Hashkacha. That the reward is the physical blessings, because that's really the good. And the Torah is what you have to do. You have to suffer through the Torah, so you'll get that. It's a child's absurdity. It's an absolute absurdity. That, now you can understand that, yeah, there's Geula, but there's not Cheres. That is, the state that we're in is a result of Chet. To the extent that we involve ourselves in Chet, we take ourselves away from accessing the Geula. To that extent, we do become enslaved. There's no absolute guarantee. If a Jew lives his life in accordance with the prevailing philosophies and hedonism and so forth, so he's no different. Even if he does the mitzvahs. Kadoshim to you means that you have to not just keep the, like the Ramban says, that there's a novel Bershus HaTorah. A person can live a debased type of a life, which is contrary to, that's the essence of Abdus. But he's religious. He's focused on the real. He's influenced by the surrounding cultures. That's the idea of the Abdus, that the Abdus is something which comes to us due to our exposure to false philosophies. That's Chutzlars, that's the idea of Golos, that's Golos. Of course we can become corrupt in Eretz Yisrael too, that's what happened, because they became influenced by the of the Avodah Zarah. They didn't destroy them, didn't wipe them out. It goes all the way back to the days of Shoftim, when they first inherited the land, and they didn't complete the process of removing all the Ovdei Avodah Zarah from the land. That's the idea. The Geula, however, as a nation, the Jewish people as a nation is a redeemed nation. Because once Hashem redeemed us, He established it. He established it in a way that the possibility is always there. In other words, it's an eternal nation. But the nation will exist in two frameworks. It can exist as a free nation, that is, when we're accessing, we're living the appropriate way, and we're following, we're not just doing the mitzvahs. I want you to understand, it's not just the mitzvahs. If you take a look at the Shema, When the Shema says, "Vayim Shema Tishma Mitzvah Sayyid Sharech Zavcha," it doesn't just say if you're religious and observant. La'av Asher Shem Alkechem. To love the Lord your God, only avdo b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshechem. It's a certain level that we achieve of recognition of the truth of the Torah and perfecting ourselves. Then v'nasati gishmechem itam. The brachos kick in not just by simplistic observance, but by a certain degree of perfection. That's the ultimate. But when we don't achieve, that's what it says. Hishama lachem. That idea that we have within ourselves the ability that there's a big danger. We have to be constantly concerned that your hearts will seduce you into avodah zarah, because the desire to be like other nations, the desire for simplistic religious gratification, for what we call avodah zarah, is a very, very powerful thing. The Torah is a completely different system. A completely different way of achieving the appropriate relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which goes contrary to everybody's emotions. You see, all the other religions, they had to recognize what they call the Old Testament, but they couldn't accept the system. Could not accept it. So we have to be on guard against that. And that, when you Vasartem Vavatel Mecherim, Vishtach of Islam, Vyatzar Sashmayim, Vilayimata, immediately the negative Ashkacha will kick in. Halach Ma'anya is, we're even using the Lashon. That's why it's Halach the Lashon, as we said yesterday. Because the objective tonight is not just in the abstract, but to do certain actions to which express the fact that we feel the phenomenon. Now, one of the main, it's something we take for granted, but one of the main elements is that we don't even speak the appropriate language. We're supposed to be speaking Lashon HaKodesh. But that's jealous. Why? We're not supposed to be speaking English. Not that there's anything wrong with knowing English, but this has become our language. And that's the most basic thing. So on the night of the Seder, you have to actually do actions which express the ideas. So it brings it, the reality permeates your soul. It brings it home to you in a very, very blatant manner. Halach ma'anya. The achola. You see? That's in Aramaic. And we're expressing the idea in spite of the fact that we're not truly free. We're not living, truly free means living the free life. We're religious Jews. That doesn't mean we're B'nai Chorin. That's not what the Shema says. B'chol avavchem, b'chol nafshchem, perfection. Or religion. Even those of us who keep the religion, not to mention the many that have no shaykhs to Torah whatsoever. But even I don't talk about them. That's a separate issue. But what about those who keep it? How are we keeping it? How are we observing it? Is it an observance which is really reflecting the true geula? Or have these types of superstitions crept in even to the practice of Orthodox Judaism? Different types of practices which are based upon foolishness or superstition and so on and so forth. So that's the beginning. But we mention that the elements of Geula are always present. What's the elements of Geula? The elements of Geula is Halach Ma'anya, the mitzvahs. We have the mitzvah of Matzah, which is reflective of the whole system of mitzvahs. As long as we're, and that's a guarantee that the Jewish people will never be separated from the mitzvahs, from the system. That the kilo yishakach mi pizaro, that the words of Torah will never be forgotten, and the system of mitzvahs. So it's a different kind of an entity, which means that we're permanently attached to that system, which if we access properly, will give us the geula. The geula is always around the door. Like the Rambam says, that in the end the Jews will do tshuva, umiyad, immediately they'll be redeemed. They'll immediately be redeemed. So, the matzah, called the tzrich yeseh v'yivsach. I'm sorry, called the chvin yeseh v'yechol, called the tzrich yeseh v'yivsach. That expresses another idea. What's the idea? That Hashem created a new phenomenon called Am Yisrael. It's not just a religion for individuals, but when you observe it, you have to observe it as it's a unique type of an Am. And that's what we're expressing, that this Am has a special kind of a relationship, which is based upon a kol dichvin, which is based upon the idea of chesed, that each person has a responsibility to make sure that the other person has his needs. His needs on the physical level, that's called the chmin yesev, you have a physical level, and what's called the shrich, and also called the shalar reim zel, is that in terms of mitzvahs. In terms of the mitzvahs. That means anyone who's in need of the Pesach, it doesn't mean the carbon Pesach, as we said. It means yesev yifsach, let him come for matzah, for yayin, and so on and so forth. And the third element is hashat ha'acha, the recognition of the fact that we're in galus, that we never get comfortable in galus. Hashem will never allow uvagayim lo sargia, amongst those nations you'll never be relaxed, you'll never be comfortable. It's an illusion. I mean, it afflicts us from time to time, that illusion. Like the Jews in America today feel extremely comfortable. They don't feel like they're Jews even, because they think that anti-Semitism is finished. That's it. And it's an amazing thing. We have the worst, in a sense, the worst type of a destruction, so to speak, in terms of virtually what percentage of Jews in America have not assimilated, have not abandoned Judaism. Ultimately, Hashata Abdi, the realization that Hashata Abdi means that you cannot achieve the geula in the most perfected way as long as you're in chesaret, because you'll always be influenced by the gayim, by yalamdu. That's what he says in Tillim, that God, we mingle with the nations and we learn from their ways, so that we try our best to live according to the true Torah way of life, not just to keep the mitzvot, the Torah way of life. But ultimately, it's virtually impossible for it to be perfect, because you're always going to be affected by this, by the culture. Because we're part of this culture and we're Americans, and a lot of things are we're not even aware of. Things that we don't even question, that we take for granted, but we're not aware that to a certain extent, that's not, these are false values that we're living by and pursuing, and what we consider success and fame and all these different things that affect us are things that have come to us, have influenced us via the culture. So that is the outset. That sets the pattern that you can't have the Seder unless you have the awareness that the whole idea of the Geula, it's not a magical transformation. If that were the case, it can't be a magical transformation, because it has to be within the system of Bechira, and that we become the people of Hashem. But if we fail to use our Bechira properly, then these are the consequences. The consequences are Golus. But this is not, the Golus itself is part of the system. It's not a permanent Golus. So that the phenomenon of Golus does not interrupt, does not negate the idea of Geula. Geula is bigger than Golus. Golus can occur as an accident within it, but it can't destroy, it can't stop Geula. And the Geula will come. That's why I think the last pasuk is Hashata Avdi, so you're expressing that with Aramaic. But then Lashana Abav and Echar, and then you go to Lashon HaKodesh. That's part of it. That one sentence incorporates both ideas. That's a reality for you. You have to say, you can't just say it's a hope, I hope I'll be back. You have to do it that it's a reality. There's no doubt, it's a reality for you. And how do you do that? By saying it in Lashon HaKodesh. The idea of Hashata Avdei means, that's because of goals, it means that it's not just like you're in a momentary slump. I mean, that can happen, you know, an off day, but then you bounce right back. This is consequences already. You see? Because being in a state of galus is a qualitative phenomenon, and that's a significant sacrifice of cheres. Once we understand it this way, then we can see why even an Israeli person would say, Hashata Acha, Lashon Haba, the Arad Yisrael, meaning that Arad Yisrael, the land of Israel, is not, it's interesting. That sentence of Arad Yisrael is not said in Hebrew. That's said in Hebrew. Said in Aramaic, because that's just a change of location, which is an important step in the right direction. It's an important step in the right direction, but still, Hashata Avdi, that one can be Ba'ara the Israel and still Ara the Israel. One can still speak even a strange language in the land of Israel. That's a step in the right direction. But the ultimate, just being in Israel is not going to make the change. People that go to Israel today would still have to say Halach Manya, in my opinion, and would still say Hashem, because it's just step number one. He would still have to say it because it's not the transformation. Even though he's Ba'ar the Israel, he's still a Shat Abdi. That's true, that the reestablishment of the state is a very good thing, that the Jews are back to Eretz Israel, have control over Eretz Israel to the extent that they have control over Eretz Israel, and that the Jews can protect themselves and so forth. But it's just step number one. It has dangers as well as opportunities. That is, if it leads the Jewish people in the wrong direction, that they become like another nationalistic entity, like, oh, then it's a very, very terrible thing. Cannot be successful. That's why there's a tremendous responsibility on the religious Jews to be very, very careful, to operate correctly, to try and, so to speak, to Makarit. The Kiruv of the Jewish people in terms of ourselves is a great opportunity, because so many Jews are gathered together in the land, and you have access. That's a big problem. That's why it disturbs me, a lot of the things that the very religious do to try and impose or to look down and whatever it is, they don't always create the greatest image, the greatest example, that if it's going to turn other Jews off, and then it makes the problem worse.